In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today in the Orthodox Church, we celebrate the Holy Apostle Philip. Saint Philip was a native of Bethsaida in Galilee, where the Apostle Andrew and the Apostle Peter were also from, and is also the one who calls Nathanael to come and follow Jesus as well, telling Nathanael that we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. When Nathanael questions whether anything good can come out of Nazareth, Philip gives that now famous response, come and see. So we can already see that St. Philip is already apostolizing to Nathanael. It's as if he's already gone all in on this Jesus figure and wants his friends and his countrymen to know about him. And St. Philip truly did have great faith and fervor for Christ. St. Philip is the one who, before Christ's betrayal in Gethsemane, asked Jesus to show the disciples, show us the Father. And in these words, you can almost hear the fervor of St. Philip. St. Philip followed Christ and truth wherever it took him. And in these words, show us the Father, you can tell that he wishes to understand who Christ is and the profound mysteries of Christ to the deepest possible depths. Moreover, St. Philip didn't just want to have these mysteries for himself, right? As he did with St. Nathanael, telling him to come and see. According to tradition, St. Philip went with the Apostle Bartholomew and Philip's own sister, St. Mariamne, to preach the gospel in Syria and Asia Minor, which they did with great fervor. Not only did St. Philip and St. Bartholomew and St. Mariamne preach the gospel, but they also healed the sick, baptized households, and endured harsh punishments by local authorities, including attempted stonings, imprisonments, and exile. For his role in converting the wife of the city of Hierapolis, which is in Syria now, the city prefect to Christianity, St. Philip and St. Bartholomew were sentenced to death by crucifixion, the same death that their Lord, teacher, and friend Jesus was sentenced to. But as soon as they were crucified, a great earthquake came upon the whole land, and it was through St. Philip's prayers on the cross while crucified that the earthquake abated, at which time St. Philip departed this life. Nevertheless, St. Bartholomew was still very much alive, and he was taken down from the cross, forgiven, and sent on his way. St. Bartholomew and St. Philip's sister, St. Mariamne, continued their apostolic pursuits to India, Armenia, and beyond, and St. Bartholomew was again crucified for a second time, this time reposing in the Lord while St. Mariamne finished her earthly life in peace. All of this is to say that these three great early apostles of the church took to heart what true apostleship means. And what true apostleship means can be seen today in a few brilliantly crafted verses from St. Paul's letters to the Corinthians. And I say beautifully crafted because his admonition to apostleship in this passage is both quite beautiful in its exposition of what apostleship is, while simultaneously being one of the most sarcastic and ironic passages in all of Scripture. You see, the well-to-do church at Corinth, despite the church's spiritual gifts and wealth, were not necessarily acting like proper disciples and apostles of Christ's church. And a good number in the Corinthian church were breaking away from the teachings of Paul, from the teachings of Christ, to go after other teachers. This greatly troubled St. Paul, who admits to the Corinthians that he did not come to them in excellence of speech or wisdom when declaring to them the testimony of God, but that he instead knew nothing about the Corinthians except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Instead, the wisdom that St. Paul brings is not the wisdom of this age. It isn't the high-flung theology and philosophy that St. Paul was bringing to the Corinthians, even though St. Paul was a very well-educated man, and many of his letters are packed with very strong theological language. No, instead, St. Paul doubles down on the folly of the cross, on what he calls the wisdom of God, a mystery which is not known to the rulers of this age. And Paul is at pains to speak in this way to reveal to the Corinthians a great mystery of the church, and that is that God does not reveal himself to the proud and to the mighty of this world, but instead to those who are pure of heart. Look who God revealed himself to. Moses, a man who, by his own admission, was slow of speech and tongue. or David, the youngest of Jesse's 8 sons, and a shepherd who was first anointed by the prophet Samuel as a teenager at the age of like 15, or the apostles, many of whom were fishermen or tax collectors. There is no partiality with God. There are simply those who walk humbly with him, as the prophet Micah says, and those who do not. And St. Paul absolutely takes this idea to heart and puts the Corinthians on a guilt trip of sorts, telling them that he could, in fact, wish that he could reign with them, but that he can't. He can't reign with them because God has displayed and set forth himself and the apostles instead as men condemned to death. It's a crazy juxtaposition because Paul is essentially just going for the throat. He's essentially saying, you have reigned apart from us, but I wish that you Corinthians truly reigned so that we may reign with you. But instead, you reign and you rule in your earthly and material way. Well, we are like men condemned to death, a spectacle to the entire world, both to angels and to men. So this is the beginning of the guilt trip, if you can't tell. St. Paul is saying that true apostles reign, rule, conquer in their foolishness, in their weakness, in their dishonor, in their hunger, thirst, and nakedness, in the beatings and homelessness that they endure. They reign in their labor and in being reviled and persecuted and defamed, becoming the filth or the waste of this world, in St. Paul's words. And this last phrase, becoming the filth, the waste of the world that St. Paul uses, in Greek it's peripsima. And it's a shocking, rare word in language that's only used once elsewhere in Scripture, and I think it's in Proverbs, in the Septuagint. And in Greek it has 2 meanings which are complementary. The first is it means to become like something scraped off, essentially the refuse of the world. Think about like a pan and you scrape off, you know, all the burnt bits at the end and throw it in the trash. That's what St. Paul is saying that he is becoming. And what this means is not that, you know, the apostles are, you know, completely worthless or useless, but it means that the apostles are the last of all, the servants of all, the last thing, you know, scraped off from the pan and kind of just forgotten about. And the second meaning is a bit more technical for peripsima, and it means to become a ransom of sorts, a sacrifice for others and for the world, sort of like a scapegoat is sometimes how it was used. In fact, this was the word that ancient Greek pagans would use when they would sacrifice criminals to Poseidon yearly to abate Poseidon's wrath. They would throw a criminal in the water and call him essentially a peripsima, an offscouring of the world to you know, hope that, you know, a hurricane doesn't hit them or something. And so this is the way that this word is being used. And St. Paul seems to be using it in both of these ways, in the fact that Christians become at least the least in the world, the refuse of the world, and servants to all. We're called to be servants of all, right? And we also become sacrifices and offerings to others, especially to those in Christian communities, in the church. We are servants of one another, and we're sacrifices, we're offerings to one another. But St. Paul isn't the only one who uses this strong language, peripsima. It shows up a few other places in the early apostolic fathers, in the patristic fathers. St. Ignatius of Antioch in the 2nd century uses the word again when he tells the church at Ephesus that he has become the church's offscouring, that he has become an offscouring of the cross, something almost scraped off the cross or taken from the cross. And again, it's very strange and strong language. But it seems to indicate that St. Ignatius has become a portion of the church scraped off from the rest, who acts in perfect imitation of Christ, a portion chosen from the rest of the church who perfectly conforms himself to the image of Christ in his martyric death. And then in the 3rd century, so in the 200s, the word peripsima gets picked up again by St. Dionysius the Great of Alexandria. He was the Patriarch of Alexandria. And he uses it in regards to Christians who volunteered to look after victims of a certain plague, in essence consigning themselves to death, if only to care for their neighbors who had been abandoned by the world because they were contagious. They were contagious unto death. And so, in awe of such self-denial by these Christians, St. Dionysius notes that miraculously, through this Christian love, many of the Christians, through prayer and their love for these people who had the plague, many of the Christians were able to somehow take on the plague of the victims themselves, like transfer the sickness to themselves through prayer, and thus they became offscourings of the world. They became the refuse of the world. And he's directly taking it from St. Ignatius and St. Paul. It's not a word that's used all that much, so that's just kind of the line that you can draw from there. And so he's saying, in essence, these Christians are consigning themselves to a worldly death so that they may be fully alive in Christ, while many of the plague victims, he says, made full recoveries. So this is the love that true discipleship and apostleship creates. I'm not saying that we have to, you know, just throw caution to the wind and put God to the test and not believe in germ theory anymore. That's not what I'm saying. Christians of the 3rd century Alexandria were working with what they had, right? And they weren't trying to get sick and die. That wasn't the point of what they were trying to do. What they were doing was just simply serving those deemed by society to be beyond the realm of service, okay? And in serving the offscouring of this world, the refuse of the world, they in turn became the offscouring of this world. While in the eyes of God, they were instead precious vessels of the Holy Spirit. And they also became true apostles, because to be a true apostle means all the things that St. Paul listed above that we heard today in the epistle. It means to be completely filled with God. It means knowing that without God we are weak, but that with Christ we are strong, even if to the world we still appear weak, as St. Paul did to the Corinthians. It means knowing that without Christ we are foolish, but that with Christ we are wise, because Christ is wise, Christ is wisdom, and we simply need to live in his wisdom. It means knowing that without Christ we are thirsty and starved, because Christ is the spring which gushes forth eternal life. He is the Paschal Lamb that satisfies our spiritual hunger. And it means that knowing that without Christ we are truly impoverished, because Christ is our home. He is our homeland. He is our refuge, because he comforts us and shelters us and rules in us. These are the marks of true discipleship at play in St. Paul's epistle this morning. These are the marks of true discipleship that St. Philip, who we commemorate today, and his sister St. Mary Amni and St. Bartholomew exhibited. And if their feats, you know, that we hear about in their lives today that we heard, if they seem superhuman, if, you know, St. Philip calming an earthquake and praying for his executioner seems superhuman or otherworldly, or St. Bartholomew being crucified twice, right, having the strength to be crucified not only once, but willingly going to his crucifixion again, or St. Mary Amni traveling thousands of miles on foot to bring the gospel to faraway nations. If all these things seem otherworldly, it's because they are. It's because God works through his disciples in great ways in some, right, and in smaller, more hidden ways in others. He works through his saints, through his peoples, to bring about miracles in this world. So may we take the apostles of Christ to be our examples of true apostleship. May we have the prayers of St. Philip, the apostle whose memory we celebrate today. And may we remember the valuable words of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And may we begin to be true disciples and true apostles of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.